Tisha B'Av is a very difficult day, not only because we are forced to sit on the floor and fast and mourn and think about the destruction of our temple, but because it also forces us to reflect on what the Beis HaMikdash really means to us and what it means that it's not in our lives and what our lives would look like if it were in our lives. What are we really lacking? We have shuls, we have schools, we have thriving Jewish communities. In Eretz Yisrael, there are more yeshivos than any time in history. But for some reason, we're very focused on having the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. And we each need to ask ourselves, why do I want the Beis HaMikdash? What will it add to my life that I'm currently lacking and cannot be replaced in any other way besides for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? So I think we can begin to address this issue by noting that the Pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan, in Parak Gimel Pasuk Chav Hei, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe that he can look, gaze at Eretz Yisrael, but not enter it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu references Eretz Yisrael as a good land on the other side of the Yarden. He says, V'har ha-tov ha-zev ha-levanon. Rashi says, Har ha-tov ha-zev refers to Yerushalayim. We know Yerushalayim is Harim Savivla. It's most often noted as a mountainous location. And ha-levanon refers to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah itself, according to Rashi, is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he looks, when he has Moshe look upon Eretz Yisrael, he's noting the levanon, the Beis HaMikdash. So let's discuss this connection or this name of the Beis HaMikdash as Levanon. The Sizik HaChamim notes that this description of the Beis HaMikdash as Levanon is based on the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Lametes Amud Beis, which quotes a pasuk in Zechariah, which says, Psach Levanon Tlasecha V'Sochal Ish Ba'arazecha. Open your doors, O Lebanon, and let the fire consume your cedars. And the Mefarshim in Zechariah, the Mesudas David, the Malbim, they say this is a nevuah referring to the Churban Bayis Sheni, saying the Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash allowed its doors to open so the Umas HaOlam, the non-Jews, could enter and destroy it. The Gemara notes that why was the Beis HaMikdash in this Pasuk referred to as Levanon? As the Pasuk said, Psach Levanon Tlasecha, the Beis HaMikdash opened its doors. So the Gemara uses a very strong language. The Gemara says, the Beis HaMikdash was called Levanon Shemalbin Avonosehem Shal Yisrael, because the Beis HaMikdash whitened or cleaned the sins of the Jewish people. Melabin Ha'adam in Ha'averos. So this is Chachamim. Somehow the Beis HaMikdash had a unique power that it was able to cleanse, it was able to clean, it was able to wipe away our sins. Similarly, the Gemara in Gittin, and Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, darshins a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which says, V'nikev sivchei hayar ba'barzel, v'halavanon ba'adar yipol. The thickets of the forest shall be cut off with iron. The Lebanon shall fall through the Mighty One. Again, the Gemara tells us, Levanon refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi there, in Gittin, like Yoma, says, the reason Beis HaMikdash is called Levanon is because it was Melavin Avonoseyam Shal Yisrael. So we have to ask, what's the pshat over here? In what way was the Beis HaMikdash Melavin Avonoseyam Shal Yisrael? What was the mechanism in which it had the ability to whiten, to clean, to cleanse our sins? We even say in the Haggadah, we talk about the Kama Milos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the very last one is, Ubanu lanu Beis HaBechira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built us the temple, Beis HaMikdash, L'chaper al kol avonoseinu. It sounds like if one were to use one adjective to describe the Beis HaMikdash and what it meant to us, the hallmark, the staple, the main theme of the Beis HaMikdash was L'chaper al kol avonoseinu, was Melabin avonoseim shel Yisrael. It had the ability to atone and to wipe away our sins. Now, on a very simple level, the Torah Tamima points out that the Pashup shot over here is that this refers to Karbanos. As we know, the Gemara in Tainis and Daf Chav Zayin on Beis tells us that when the Beis HaMikdash was around, Karbanos were Mechaper, atoned for our sins. And the word Malabin is based on the Pasuk which says, Im yu chata'ichem kashonim kasheleg yalbinu. That if our sins are dark, if they're heavy, so they'll be whitened like sheleg, yalbinu, they'll be cleaned. So on a very simple level, one could simply suggest that these Gemaras are referring to the power of the Karbanos and the power they had to atone for any sins we may have committed. But let's go a little bit deeper here. The exact same phrase used in the Gemara in Yoma on Daf Lamed Tes to describe the power of the Beis HaMikdash, Shemelabin Avonoseim Shel Yisrael, is used later on in Yoma to describe something else. The Gemara in Yoma on Daf Ayin Hei Amid Aleph notes that in Parshas Peshalach, when the Torah is describing the man, the heavenly food that came down during the Midbar, it says it was God Lavan. So the Gemara expounds that what does it mean that the man is described as Lavan? So the Gemara uses the same exact language, that the man was Malabin Avonoseihem Shel Yisrael. Somehow the man also had the power to cleanse and to wipe away the sins of the Jewish people. Now certainly the man had nothing to do with Karbanos. So what does it mean that the man was able to cleanse and wipe away our sins? So the Gemara says, first of all, it worked in a way as an ability to expose those who had sins. So for example, the Gemara says, two people would come before Moshe in judgment, in din. One would say, Reuven would say to Shimon, you stole my servant. Shimon responds, you sold it to me. I own him fair and square. So normally, Dayanim would have to figure out how to handle this case. But in the Midbar, the Mun allowed Moshe to say, in the morning, we will have an automatic judgment. Because we know that the Mun would fall in front of each house for the exact amount of people that were legitimately supposed to be in that house that day. So Moshe said, let's see how the Mun falls the next day. If an extra portion of Mun falls in Reuven's house, then we know that Shimon stole Reuven's servant. But if an extra portion of Mun falls in Shimon's house, then we know that Shimon had purchased the servant fair and square. But Rashi in Yoma explains how the Mun actually was Malabin Avonoseim Shel Yisrael. Rashi says that on a very general and broad sense, since the Jewish people at the time were so worried, perhaps Mun wouldn't fall the next day. It's almost like someone who works at a market and he has to sell enough fruit or enough produce to have enough money to go home and buy dinner. So he might have enough for today, but he has no idea if tomorrow he'll make enough money to purchase food for that day. So every day he's living day to day, paycheck to paycheck, literally. So Rashi here too says that just because a miracle happened today, the Jewish people were not convinced it would happen tomorrow. And you can imagine the fear when the portions that fell down were only enough for that day. They had no storage. They had no backups. They had no leftovers. Anything that was left over would spoil right away. Nothing was in their cabinets. So you can imagine the Jewish people going to sleep every single night in the Midbar, not knowing if tomorrow the Mun would fall again. And Rashi says, when the Jews felt like this, they were Mishabdom Libam Lamakom. They had no other option but to subject their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very powerful idea that when we feel like we have enough in our cabinets, in our storage, in our pantry, so we have enough. We'll come to God again in a couple of days when we run out and have to go shopping again. But the Jews in the Midbar, every single day, didn't know what they were going to wake up to. And so that forced them to subject their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means that the Mun itself was Malabin Avonoseim Shel Yisrael. The whole structure and process of the Mun falling forced the Jews to change their perspective and to understand that really everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And that, in a way, cleansed, wiped away many of their sins, because it allowed them to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who provides everything in their lives. And I thought that perhaps based on Rashi, and the fact that the Gemara uses the same exact phrase of Melabin Avanoseim Shel Yisrael by the Mon, and also when it comes to Beis HaMikdash, that we can use Rashi to also explain in what way was the Beis HaMikdash Melabin Avanoseim Shel Yisrael, that the Beis HaMikdash also wiped away our sins. When we put all of our faith, we give up our hearts, we surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see Him clearly in our lives, and we allow Him to guide us. However, when we feel like we are in control, we tend to not include Him in our lives and in our plans. So the Mon was an example, like we mentioned, where the Jews realized this is out of our control. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't leave too much room for sin, for chit, when one has that perspective. As the Gemara in Sota tells us, that when does chit come, when does sin come? It's from a ruach shtus entering a person. A time when a person doesn't really feel Hashem in his life. The Yitzhahara convinces him, oh, this is mutter. I'm not thinking about Hashem right now. Why else would a person engage in an avera with a punishment of death, or kares, or malchus? It's foolish, unless he's not really thinking about Hashem at that moment. A ruach shtus entered his mind, a temporary loss of consciousness. But that temporary loss of consciousness, that ruach shtus, does not have many cracks to enter through. When one is living a life, including Hashem in every aspect of his life, allowing Hashem to guide him, putting all of his faith, giving up his heart to Hashem, and that was the Mon. And perhaps, similarly, that was the Beis HaMikdash. It was a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was so potent. It was felt so clearly. We had the same level of clarity. We were able to put our faith in Hashem the same way they did by the Mon. We were able to give our hearts to Him. It just wouldn't happen that when one was in the Beis HaMikdash, a Ruach Shtus would enter him. Because his Yetzer Hara would never be able to convince him, think about something else right now. I can't think about anything else right now. I'm only thinking about Hashem. Everything's for Him. I see Him in my life very clearly. So the Beis HaMikdash, much like the Mon, represented for us an opportunity to mishabed libo l'shamayim, to take away all distractions, to stop pretending that we are in control of things that happen in our lives, and simply recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling everything. Let Him guide us. The Ali Tamar and the Yerushalmi and Yoma note that the Beis HaMikdash was made from a material, Avni Sheish Tahor, which had a certain shine, like a Livnas HaSapir, Ve'etzem HaShemayim LaTohar, a certain whiteness to it, a glowing whiteness, so that anybody coming to Yerushalayim, even from a far distance, would see the Beis HaMikdash on the top of Har HaBayis and not even recognize that it was the Holy Temple, the Beis HaMikdash, but rather, they would think it's just a snowy mountain. And that's why it was called Levanon, a reference to Lavan, its whiteness. And the whiteness was intentional. It was to reference and indicate that the Beis HaMikdash's primary goal was to be able to be Melabin Avonoseim Shel Yisrael Kasheleg Yalbinu. In fact, the land of Lebanon itself was actually named that because it snowed there in the summer and the winter. This was the first thing people would notice as they approached the Beis HaMikdash. The power of the Mikdash to whiten, to cleanse, to wipe away our sins, its primary function was to take us away from a place where we feel like we're in control, where we forget about Hashem, and be in a world where we're always thinking about Hashem. The Maharal in several places, in Gevuras Hashem, in Netzach Yisrael, and the Gur Aryeh, he offers a very similar pshat to how we're explaining Rashi. and the Gemara in Yoma. He says that the Beis HaMikdash was called Levanon. It's a reference to a certain place on a mountain from which trees grow. And when a tree grows, it gets farther and farther away from earth, separating from the Aretz. And the Beis HaMikdash was called Levanon because it too was separate from a place of Aretz. Aretz is always associated with Gashmius, with Chumrius, with our Yitzhara, with temptations in this world. The Beis HaMikdash was separate from that. And that's why it had the ability to be Malabin Avanoseim Shel Yisrael. As when a person sins, he's going after his Yitzhar Chumri, his Yitzhar Gashmi. These are temptations in this world of the Aretz. But the Beis HaMikdash, which had such an elevated Kedusha that was separate from the Aretz, separate from the Gashmius. When one did Avoda in the Mikdash, the Chumrius, the Gashmius, was removed. He was no longer an Adam Chumri. He was rather an Adam Haruchni. It's very similar to our Pshat in Rashi by the Mun, and explaining it further to the Beis HaMikdash. It was a place we were able to focus solely in our spiritual lives and focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the giver of all. And maybe this could also explain something else. The Gemara in Tainis, and Daf Chavtes Amad Aleph, quotes Rav Yehuda, Berei Der Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav, that Kishem, Shenichnas, when we enter Av, the month of Av, Mima'atin B'Simcha, so too, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha. A very well-known teaching. And the question we have to ask on this is, what's the Kishem? Just like we decrease Simcha and Av, so too we increase Simcha and Adar. Aren't there two separate reasons why we decrease Simcha and Av, okay, Churban Beis HaMikdash, and we increase Simcha and Adar because of Purim? Why is the Gemara linking them? And is the author, Yehuda, Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav, is that important? So the Imri Emes, in his comments on Purim, notes that the Pasuk in Megillas Esther says, Vatasam Esther es Mordechai al Beis Haman. Esther placed Mordechai on the Beis Haman. The Imri Emes says that Esther and Mordechai's goal was to extract every last ounce of Kedusha from the Klipa of Haman, from the negative attribute of Haman. And in fact, the Gemara Sanhedrin, on Zat Sarivav HaMabez, says that although Haman's goal was to wipe out the Jews, in fact, Haman's grandchildren, if you could imagine such a thing, were learning in Yeshiva and Kolel in Bnei Brak. You can imagine Haman would be rolling over in his grave, thinking about what his grandchildren were, from his perspective, off the Derech, learning in Bnei Brak. And the Ein Yaakov on that Gemara says, who was Haman's grandson that was learning Torah Bnei Brak? So the Ein Yaakov says, this refers to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. What's the significance of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas? So the Arizal writes that Shilas, the word Shilas, Shin Yud Lamed Tav, is Rashi Tevos Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is always in front of me. And this was the hallmark trait of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. The Gemara Kesuvos, Daf Samach Beis, Amar Aleph, tells us, according to Abaye, that a tayel, someone who's simply traveling to work every day and coming home, he has a chiyuv of ona, of relations with his wife, every single day. And who's an example of a tayel, says the Gemara? Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. He gets paid for being a Rebbe by day, but he comes home every night, goes to sleep, and he's not conscripted for the king's work. He's not mishubud to anything else in the town. You see that Shmuel Bar Shilas was always involved in only being mishubud to Melech HaShamayim. So therefore, he was never mishubud to anyone else. He was able to come home. And that's Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid, which is a hallmark characteristic of a Jew. As the Sofei Tevos, the last letter of the words Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samid, spell out the word Yehudi. That's what a Jew is. The goal of a Jew is to get to the point where Hashem and His presence is always in front of him. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Dachaf Amad Aleph says that Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas would only hit children with a shoe strap. Arkisa de Misana. Apparently, it wasn't as dangerous or damaging as some of the other whips that were popular at the time. But the Imre Emes says, the Gemara is not just telling us that Shmuel Bar Shilas went light on his discipline. Rather, it alludes to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, which says that during a Shas HaShmad, when the Goyim are trying to kill us and they want us to relinquish our religion, one has to be Moser Nefesh, give of his life, even if they want you to change the Arkasa de Misana, even the color of your shoe strap. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas would hit children with a shoe strap, not as discipline, but to tell them, to remind them, a Jew needs to be Moser Nefesh for Torah and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means to be Shivisa Shamanagi Samid. Everything I do is for Hashem. And sometimes it even requires me to give him my life, if that's what Hashem wants from me at this moment. And Mordechai, in the Purim story, fulfilled that. As when Haman was viewing himself as an Avodah Zarah, we say in the Megillah, V'lo kam v'lo zami menu. Mordechai extracted the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, the Shivisa Hashem Nagi Samid, from Haman. And that's where he got the koach to stand up to Haman and to say, Hashem, if he wants me to give up my life right now, that's what I'll do. But I'm not bowing down to you. And maybe this Imre Emes, I thought, perhaps could explain to us why Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was one of the authors, the Baal Mimras, involved in the teaching of the same way we decrease our simcha in Av, so too we increase our simcha in Adar. What's the kishim? What's the connection? Perhaps we could suggest the connection is that one could look at those 2 months, Av and Adar, and view them as two different avodas. In Av, we're sad, it's destruction, we're far from Hashem. And in Adar, Simcha, Purim, we're close to Hashem. But Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, his essence was, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Hashem is always with me no matter what. Every day he was always involved in Melech HaShemayim. He taught to be Moser Nefesh for Torah. You could look at being sad, being happy, as two different parts of the relationship. But Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas is saying, Kishem. It's really all one avoda. Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way it is appropriate to serve him at that time. Sometimes it's with sadness, sometimes it's with joy, but it's always with a one-track mind of whatever Hashem wants from me right now, that's what I'm going to do. Shivisi Hashem Anagdi Samid, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, telling us the avoda of Av and the avoda of Adar are not so different. And so to bring it all together, that's really what the Beis HaMikdash represented for us. What are we lacking? Why do I want the Beis HaMikdash so badly? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. That's what it means to be a Yehudi. To be a Jew means to limit our Ruach Shtus, to not allow Chet to sully and to dirty our lives. We want that connection with Hashem so bad. And we have so many distractions and stresses in our lives right now. And we don't have that opportunity like we once had to have the potency of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Just like when the Mun came down and the people said, I only can be servant to you, Hashem. There's nothing else I can do right now. We don't have those opportunities because we don't see him as clearly. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that's how it was. When we approach that white mountain, that Levanon, the one that was Malabin Avonoseim Shel Yisrael, when we got there, there was a certain level of clarity. There was a certain level of faith where all distractions went away, where things that people thought were once significant and meaningful were no longer significant and meaningful. And what became meaningful was Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence being in front of me, being mishaved my lev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is really my goal. My goal of life is to do that. And without a Beis HaMikdash, in a certain sense, we're lacking in that ability. And so we daven, Ubanu lanu Beis HaBechira. Please build for us another Beis HaMikdash. L'chaper al kol avonoseinu. We don't want the Ruach Shtus. We don't want to be bound to the Aretz, to the Ruchni, to the Gashmi, to the Chumri. We want to be an Adam Ruchani. We want to connect to you on a spiritual level. But we know you put us in this world to struggle, to experience challenges. But we yearn for a time we can enter the Beis HaMikdash. We could feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samid. That's what we daven for. That's what we yearn for. And if we want it bad enough, Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us exactly what we want. We should be reunited with Him in a perfect symphony, in a perfect harmony, where we feel His presence directly in front of us at all times.